Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and boy, oh boy, we got another Halloween film lined up for this week in celebration of October, the month in which Halloween lies. We get to learn a little bit about Ashley's new love interest. Tune in for that. Bunch of other fun stories at the top of the hour. But hey, listen, if you want to help us out, want to support us during the pandemic, and just enjoy the things that we do, I encourage you to leave us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcasts or the Stitcher, whatever platform you listen to us on. Share it, and hell, just tell a friend. And don't forget to stop by aircomedy.com to check out our new store, the Quality Time Emporium. There's a link on aircomedy.com. You can go check that out. Get yourself a hoodie. Get yourself a gator mask to protect you from this COVID-riddled world. So without further ado, get strapped in. Turn that volume all the way up to 11 and get ready for Halloween 2.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
No, but funny. That's cool. It's a good idea, especially this time of year for his mother.
It's funny that my wife sent me to it because I thought it was going to be a scrap shed. And then when I came to pick it up, I was like, the lady's like, yeah, it's metal. And I bang on it like, what kind of plastic metal is this? So I ended up taking it off their hands anyway, and it's been my shed ever since. So.
No, I get that.
Store. Because I got a lot of shit. I'm a hoarder, and I have boxes
you?
Of shit.
Not Jeremy.
They also call me a hoarder, but it's because I'm super into Lord of the Rings and I'm a slut, so they call me a hoarder.
Hoarder. Proud to wake up in the morning and to have my local rock station talking about my brother's infection on his leg with the local DJ. So
it's been funny, great. This whole experience of the leg infection, a huge outpouring from social media because I shared it on there, like every thing about my thing. You know, like, lots of people in my DMs giving me unmerited health advice, like, hey, that's MRSA, you better do this and that. I'm like, hey, just calm down, Kemosabe. I'm talking to doctors, okay? If you could just hold your horses, it'll be fine. And every time somebody gives me a piece of advice, I always go 100% I'm gonna do that, and I don't do any of it. All right, not one thing. I don't argue with them at all. I'm like, I don't want to argue the merits of how intrusive of what they're asking is, so I just go, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. And I just say it every time.
You know some special people, Eric. I actually got in a fight with one of your Facebook friends who at 8 in the morning decided to correct my grammar. And I was like, hey, man, don't do this right now.
I saw that, yes.
And he's like, Eric would find it funny. He's a real comedian. And I had to take a minute. And I was like, I'm gonna fuck your throat with a knife. Like, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. That looked uncomfortable. But no, everybody's been really nice, saying like all these nice things, like get well soon. People sending me just DMs like, hey, you know, I hope you're okay. I'm really worried about you. I'm like, oh, thanks. But the I think the funniest part of all this is, like, you guys are familiar with the movie, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Correct. You know how, like, when Ferris is gone, the whole school is just going, like, oh, yeah, save Ferris and all this. And meanwhile, his sister Jeannie is just like, he's not even really that fucking sick, blah, 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 and just going off of it. That is literally the dynamic between me and my wife right now. She's muted me on social media because she's tired of people wishing me goodwill. And she's like, he's fucking fine. He just watched 6 hours of The Boys today. He's doing okay.
Oh my gosh.
So
did they release it all at once, or is it still episode by episode?
It's still episode by episode, but they're up to episode 6 of season 2. And if you haven't watched The Boys, boy, is it a goddamn treat. Mate, we'll talk offline. I might be able to get you a login, pal. I might be able to hook you up.
Neither way, I don't know.
I'm such a good brother.
It's my wife's, but I trust you. So
I hate to say I rented out Halloween 2 twice.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't watch it all in one sitting.
Yeah, Halloween 2 is a rough go. Anyway, hey, welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth. We're back for another enthralling episode. I'm joined by my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, are you actually here?
No, I feel like I've come on your show today. See how you guys doing.
Okay. Who's joining us on
it's me, Lance Guest, from The Last Starfighter.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh, Lance Guest!
Yeah.
Yes! Man.
Yeah, I helped the Armada with me and Greg, you know, when it was all computer animated, so it wasn't real.
Jimmy from Halloween 2, in the flesh.
Well, it's actually not even me. I'm the robot Jimmy that replaces Jimmy on Earth, so, yeah.
Great, Lance Guest, man, what a grab, what a guest. And as always, we're joined by the very lovely, the very talented, the no longer single Miss Ashley Pontius. Ashley, how are you doing?
I'm good, Daddy. Hi.
When did you get married? Vegas?
Yesterday. No.
She's married, much like the notorious B.I.G. She's married to the game.
Oh, you are not wrong. Yes, I am finally off the market. You know what it was? It was the 2 episodes ago when you guys were talking about setting me up. It was so upsetting. Kind of like visiting your doctor and your doctor's like, hey, if you don't lose weight soon, you're going to die. I was like, I need to find my own partner before the Woodworth boys find him for me. So...
Excellent. Without revealing his name, tell us about this boy who's going to break up our second female co-host.
So we'll just call him A for now, since I know he listens to the podcast. He is a photographer that saw me in a hoodie, some leggings, and that hideous bun I'm known for wearing on top of my head. And he was like, I want a piece of that.
Ah, nice. So now he had a little slice of the cream cheesecake, and it was just like, you know what? I need to buy the whole factory.
So how many pictures have you had in the forest naked, covered in blood now?
That is a third date thing. That is, he's got to wait for that.
Well, he's not a real photographer then.
No, he is. But you know what's super funny? You know how I know that this one could be the one? Is because we went to dinner the other night and I ordered the Maryland poutine fries, and in front of him and the waitress, I was like, oh, should have let me get the poutine fries. I might get the poutine.
Much better than the Jeremy poutine fries, let me tell you. They come straight from his armpit, and you don't want those curds.
Can I say I almost had a deal-breaker divorce moment last night with my wife?
Oh, no.
And the floor is yours.
I'll give it back to you in a second. That we were watching Lawrence of Arabia, and I said to the wife, did you recognize that guy on screen? As he's like, oh, Mr. Lawrence, did you notice that we'll go to like, was like, and she's like, no, no. I was like, did you recognize the voice? She's like, no, no. I was like, well, tell me who it is. It's like, well, you should have recognized it. And she's like, well, you know, I don't know names. Who is it? And it's like, I'll give you a hint. He was in a sci-fi movie. She's like, well, no, I don't know. It's like, okay, he was in a sci-fi movie with some guy named Han Solo and Luke Skywalker. And she's like, no. Okay, it's Alec Guinness. He's like, who's Alec Guinness? And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You don't fucking know who Alec Guinness is. Like, I don't know names. It's like, it's fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, really?
Oh, gosh.
Jeez.
Jeremy, you're telling me you are going to destroy the one relationship, like, that is the soul to your life, like, the healthiest relationship, the love of your life. You're going to destroy that because she couldn't figure out who Obi-Wan Kenobi was?
Well, I'm not serious about it, but it's like, really, you've seen Star Wars at least a couple times in your life, woman.
I honestly...
You don't even know who Obi-Wan Kenobi's name is? I mean, come on. I know who Kenny Baker is.
I'll say it. I see both sides.
And Kenny Baker was in a little trash can the whole damn movie.
Yeah, but look, Jeremy, I'm in that annoying mode where I'm in fresh love, and I'm telling you, if she loves you at your cheese curds, she can love you through anything.
Jeremy, if she had responded after all that, they were like, Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's like, you mean you and McGregor? And is that rounds for a divorce instantly right there?
No, but if I said, like, Boba Fett, and she was like, who? And I'd be like, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm hitting the road. I'm like Bruce Springsteen with a, you know, wife in Baltimore, Jack. You know, goodbye.
He's a second wedding is to a standee, just a cutout of Leia.
Yeah. I married a piece of cardboard, so.
That fucking rocks. That rocks real hard.
Not as if the hole wasn't there to begin with.
So that's great. So the new boy is working out right now. You guys are, did he help you move in? Is he being a gentleman?
He did. So he's up in Lancaster, PA. So he's a little bit farther away, but he's a total gentleman. He came to one of my shows, not to work, which is, you know, hey, commitment. Yeah, he's about a foot taller than me. Wow. And he's in a lot better shape than me. So this is wild. Like, he must have some, like, brain damage or something.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
Please tell me that he has
what I can exploit.
Please tell me he wears all black and has a big black hat and a giant beard.
Yeah. I don't know, but if he tells you on the second date to go into his basement, just call a friend. Call a friend before you go into the basement, before you see the shrine that he's built for the last couple of months and the well that's in there that he's going to throw you in. I need you to be cautious no matter what at this point.
The only thing I'm scared of is he is a great cook, and I'm betting at some point he's going to make me a pie and a big pile of pubes are going to be in. I'm just going to be smitten with him. No, one last thing, you guys. I think I need, for all the listeners, they all just need to know that I need the Woodworth brother approval to sign off on this man. But I think you guys are going to like him, because the other night when we were in bed, it was very nice. I'm looking at his face, and all of a sudden he takes a pillow and he goes, and I'm like, ah!
Just puts it right over there. Yeah, that's
that's pretty funny. That's I liked it.
That's my girl.
Was this during the lovemaking process?
The beginnings, yes.
Ah, nice.
He was just like, shh, don't make a noise. This won't hurt at all. And I was like, this is so funny.
Shh, let me just put this pillowcase over your face. Perfect. And then...
Hey, my face is the one part you shouldn't put the pillowcase under. There should be a body pillow you just stick me in. And they're like, oh, your face is the one part I do want to look at.
I like you to look like a sexy KKK member. we're just kidding. You're very lovely, Ashley. You're very lovely, and we're super happy for you and excited. I hope if he some red flags. If he says he's part of a band called Piss Nipple, I would say that's my only red flag at this point. Other than that, you have at it. I'm glad you found happiness in this crazy world that you live in.
Eric, I really appreciate that. I just truly cannot wait to get pregnant and leave the show.
Man, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for that. Do I have a fun story to tell you? So my mom has sold her house officially. House is up for contract. Got a hell of a deal. Got more than asking price. So that's a big deal. She lives in a ginormous house that she's been trying to get out of for the last probably year and a half. It finally got on the market. She got her renters out there renting out parts of it. And now she is about to be a free woman for all intents and purposes. Ooh. Now, how do I want to frame this? All right, I'm going to give you a multiple choice answer, okay? She was offered multiple offers on the house, three in particular, okay? One was for $15,000 over the asking price. It's a big one, okay? And this one is this lady apparently came into the house and said, I guess to explain how the house works, the house is has an in-law suite as also as a full finished basement that's almost like its own apartment in and of itself. It's a very huge house that she lives in. Cool. Just recently redone. So it's all pretty new, modern, very nice home. One person was offering over $15,000 of the asking price. Another was asking was willing to do it for 10 over the asking price, and another was going for 5. Now, the one who was asking 5 I didn't know that this was a thing, but apparently, because I bought 2 houses in my life, I've never done this. When you go to buy a house, you can also write a letter saying why you want to buy the house. And my mom read all 3 of these letters, okay? The house that she chose was the least expensive offer, okay? The least. Only $5,000 over the limit.
Okay.
Did she choose it, A, because they were going to use the house as it was intended, meaning they had an older in-law that was going to be moving in with them and also living there. 2, they were an ultra-Christian people that said that they wanted to live it because they were good Christian people. Or C, it was said that they just seemed like the right people. Which one? Why did she take the $5,000? A, B, or C? Why she took the lowest bid essentially for her house?
Why do I feel like this is the trick question and it's none of those?
Well, so you're going with none of them, Jeremy. What do you think your answer is?
The ones that seem the least annoying.
The ones that seemed the least annoying. Okay. They just seemed like least annoying, good people. Okay. Well, the answer to that is A, B, and C. She chose it because they were Christian people with an in-law and they seemed like nice people. So she lost out on an extra 10 grand on the house for this.
Jesus.
No, I was told that the Asian realtor came into the house unannounced an hour beforehand while she was in the attic. And just started walking around like, hey, anybody home? And she's like, oh, no.
Well, I just think it's very funny that my mom is just like to me, when I sold my house, you know how I did it? The guy asked for the exact asking price and I was in. And it was like, okay, yeah, I'm done. That's all I needed. Literally the money I'm asking for is what I needed. I never thought about who was going to move into my house or why the fuck do I care? They're paying for the house. It's their house at that point. But my mom legit cares about the people that are moving into her home.
I mean, I would normally either, but like when my childhood home was sold, I remember the lady was like, I can't wait to dig up the backyard because I have pigs.
What?
I was like, I don't know if they allow that, but good luck. And I gave her the keys. Like, great.
All right. Yeah, I don't care about that. And when somebody buys this house after I'm ready to move on from this little place, I won't give a fuck about that either. It's whoever has money. It can be whoever it is. They will get the house.
Oh, good. I'm glad you don't care what I'm going to do to the house.
Yeah.
I think the most important is to find out whether the house had like a burial ground where a suicide cult had been, maybe under the pool or something.
There's a couple of states that actually do have a clause that says if the house is haunted, you can get out of the contract. I forget which states it are. Hold on, I'm going to Google this real quick.
Now, every once in a while, you'll get a visitor by an old guy, but he's not real. He's actually a demon, and he wants to, come in your house and, show you his holy temple. So
sometimes, sometimes you might feel someone fingering your asshole. That's normal.
So this is from Zillow in 2019. In most states, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Minnesota, you have to, it's a state-by-state thing for the most part, but it's required to note if the house is haunted on the by the seller. So if you think the house is haunted, you have to mention that, otherwise people can get out of their contract. And I'm like, how does one prove that? I don't understand. Yeah. Even if you don't disclose it, let's say it's buried on an Indian burial ground, who do you bring in? What expert do you bring in? It's just like, oh, they move the body, they move the headstones, but not the bodies. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
That's when you bring in Dan Snyder.
That's what he does. Yeah.
I used to do a show on YouTube that back in the early days of YouTube was taken down, but we did a parody show called Jizz Hunters.
Of course you did.
We would take a black light into people's houses and apartments, and we'd be like, oh, I feel a presence like right over here. And we'd turn on the black light, and I'd be like, oh my God, there's thousands of children that have been murdered on this couch. Just a big white stain.
Ugh.
And YouTube made me stop producing it, but I thought it was fun.
Oh, no.
Wow.
The damn censors at it again. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so like you can prove it. You just may not like what you find.
Ashley, now that you're in a new apartment, have you searched for spirits in the house yet?
You know what's super funny? So it's a very small apartment. So even if like something horrific had happened here, the only place I've found anything is that, like we've already mentioned, that futon. But it's not the haunted that I'm afraid of. My neighbors are fucking terrifying.
Oh, tell us about your neighbors.
So right next door, when I'm up on the top story. So when I go up the stairs to my apartment, I can see into the yard of the neighbors to my left. And it is a freak show. I have never seen so many tacky Halloween decorations. Like, I'm talking the old plastic ones that like light up.
Oh,
just awful. That is in itself fine. They have three Trump flags, and not just the regular campaign flags. Oh no. They have a flag of Donald Trump holding a machine gun called Democracy Rules, and then another one with his face on a steam engine that says Trump Train.
Oh, I didn't know you moved next door to Jeremy. That's weird. That's
it's terrifying. And then I met them, and they're very nice, but they are all special. So I'm just like, it kind of feels like I live next to the family from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The secret is in the meat. Well, that's good, Ashley. I'm glad you live near In the Hills Have Eyes, and you're gonna get to really, really grow up in Pennsylvania the way God intended. So
I'm so scared. I don't have enough lighting.
So, all right. Well, congrats on the new place, and let's just hope for the love of God you don't die.
Let's just say, while I was in Pennsylvania yesterday, I did go to the guy who sold like weird plants in like weird glasses in one of these vendor areas in a flea market, and of course he had like Trump T-shirts and everything, but he had, I guess he was maybe 5'2", maybe even 5 foot.
Okay.
And from behind the counter, he really sounded like he was a midget and had like a big beard, almost like a leprechaun.
Oh, wow.
So the way he was talking, he sounded like his midget. And I had to ask him, I was like, are you standing on anything? He's like, no, I'm not standing on it. Apparently, his voice was higher because he had really severe scoliosis.
Oh.
So his whole body was almost like this.
Oh, you look like you're like me. You want to make America great, don't you?
So I was quite enamored with him, and so
that's great. Oh, speaking of little people, Jeremy, I messaged Jeremy the first day I was in the hospital. I had to message him. I tried to get a picture, but I felt it was inappropriate. The lady who asked me about my medications, which I have none, and stuff like that, she comes up.
Yeah.
This lady had to be 4'5". She was like, she looked like the same size as the, what is it? Giswelda or whatever, the lady from Poltergeist.
Oh yeah, this house is clear.
Dude, 100%. She was a ginger little person, and with her mask on, looked 100% creepy. And I couldn't stop. I was like, man, there's not a lot of times I wish I could have one visitor. If it was, it was Jeremy Woodworth. Then the second she walked him just going, look how tiny she is, just being a monster. So yeah, I got good health care from a little person at the Carroll Hospital. So
can I say that the question posed on Facebook was, which prequel would you like to see to a horror film? Because there have been prequels to pretty much every single one, mm-hmm. except for the little person from Poltergeist.
Yeah, that would be a fun one to see, I would think, yeah. Right?
Oh, hell yeah. I'd pay for a whole movie. And of course, she's dead now, so you'd have to, you know, have it recast with some other midget. Maybe from Housewives of L.A. or something. So
hey, I think you go hard. You just get Warwick Davis in drag. How many times? I mean, we're waiting for the one trans dwarf actor to really set off 2020, and I think that this is his shot. This could be his life of Garp. You know.
I was going to say, what's her name from the new Mad Max movie, but made to look like a dwarf through the whole film with digital animation?
Oh, Charlize Theron?
Charlize Theron as a dwarf, yeah.
All right. This house is clean. Like that?
And of course, the Hollywood answer is like, well, you know, dwarfs, they just suck as actors. We got to put a real actress in there, you know?
Do you think
they don't know how to play little people.
They don't know how to make big enough emotions for our movie.
That reminds me, can we sometime, even though I know it's not maybe necessarily in our genre, I'm still dying to do that Matthew McConaughey film. What is it, Tiptoes?
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. I haven't seen it.
Anybody know about this?
Yeah, somebody told me and I still haven't seen it.
We need to do
Fuck.
Is there a movie where
midget movie
where Matthew McConaughey plays a midget? Is that what it is?
No, but there's lots of good midgets in it.
No, it's good. He meets Kate Beckinsale, and then he, like, afraid of to tell her the truth, he's like, my brother's a midget, and it's Gary Oldman is his brother, and then they have a baby, and he's like, I don't want this baby. What if it turns out to be a midget? It's a real movie.
Okay.
Don't they have other good midget actors in there? Like, isn't Dinklage in it?
I think he is, and I think he might be Gary Oldman's lover, or like there's a weird sex thing going on in it. I just know that the bizarre is very much up our alley.
Hey, that's 2003 Tiptoes with Matthew McConaughey. It's got 2 out of 10 star rating. Man, it is. Oh man, this is Peter Dinklage, Kate Beckinsale, Matthew McConaughey, Gary Oldman, Patricia Arquette is in this movie. Man.
I think she's the one who's into Gary Oldman.
Oh man, what a yeah, okay, Tiptoes. Watch out, future episode of Quality Time. Yep.
I hate to say I run Midgets Are Awesome and I haven't seen this film yet. I'm for shame.
Oh, we gotta do it then.
Okay, it's done. Consider it done. Look out for December coming around the corner. We're going to have a Tiptoes special, holiday special, I guess. Guys, let's get into tonight's film, though. The follow-up, 1982's Halloween 2. Man, the Halloween 2... this coming off the back end success and the very beginning of the 80s horror boom, we get the first Halloween sequel that would really cement the series as a franchise, and where others would then follow suit after this. You know, this is like the start of the big, basically, you know, franchise horror films. Like Nightmare on Elm Street would come after this. Friday the 13th has already come out in the time between 78 and now, where we've gotten some more blood and gore and guts. John Carpenter did not actually direct this, but did decide to write, and he and Deborah Hill did decide to write and help produce this film. They let the directing duties actually fall on what's his name? It's Rosenthal. I know his last name is Rosenthal. Rick Rosenthal, who, Jeremy, what's your favorite Rick Rosenthal movie?
Halloween 2.
Halloween 2 is up there, but he's also done Transparent and Bad Boys, the original Bad Boys, not with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. No, this is with Sean Penn, the Sean Penn movie Bad Boys.
Well, that's much better than this movie.
So, now Rick though took over the directing for all this, and here's a little audio clip of Rick talking about Halloween 2.
There was a growing dispute between Rosenthal and Carpenter about what the finished film should be.
Other movies, sort of imitators, had come along who got their business taken care of by sheer gore. John felt the pressures of the marketplace, and so he wrote Halloween 2 to that marketplace.
The original Halloween was the most effective because it kept you completely on edge. You never know what you were going to see behind a door, up a flight of stairs. And once it happened, it didn't matter whether it was bloody or gory.
Halloween was really the first of its kind. And after that film, then you had the Tom Savini era with Friday the 13th and Dawn of the Dead and George Romero. And it went from suspense to gore and gross out in another way to manipulate the audience.
Perhaps the most.
So that the last person you heard there was Greg Nicotero, famous from The Walking Dead and multiple other horror films. Basically, the Tom Savini savant, if you will, who took the art of gory movie making to the next level. I really feel like, and really kept the tradition alive even to this day, as he's one of the main people behind the Walking Dead franchise and series right now. But yeah, Tom Savini, you have to think about the movies that came out between now and then. You had Friday the 13th, which is really it's a gory film of people getting stabbed through necks, and you get to see horrible Kevin Bacon in his debut, and it's also kind of a mystery thing. This movie actually picks off literally at the moment the first movie ends, because at the end of Halloween 1, you see Dr. Loomis come in, swoop in to save the day from Laurie as she's about to be murdered by Michael Myers, and he unloads a whole revolver's worth of 45 rounds or 38 specials. I can't tell which one it is. Jeremy, I'm sure, will let me know. As he stumbles off of the balcony and then has disappeared into the night. I did want to mention in this movie, as well as in Halloween 1, the sheer cavalier way that Dr. Loomis deals with the gun in the movie. Like, So me and Jeremy, proud gun owners, right? We've grown up with them most of our lives. Dr. Loomis just points the gun around and waves it around all the whole movie. Like, he just acts with it. He's like, he's out of the control and he's dangerous. He's in a cop car. He points a gun at a cop multiple times in the film. He just gives zero fucks about gun safety. And I kind of love how fucking cavalier he is with it.
I went to a party, one of Eric's rugby parties, probably 10 years ago. And of course the guy that was hosting the party, he was like a normal gun guy, and he goes upstairs and he takes out his semi-auto and shows it to another guy at the party, and the other guy at the party decides who's obviously never handled a gun in his life, to take the gun and literally point it at the guy's face that he had just handed the gun to. And the guy who handed the gun to him was like, you know, you really aren't supposed to point yes. a gun at anybody, let alone their face. And of course, the guy's explanation is like, I'm sorry, I never had a dad or anybody to tell me what I'm supposed to do in life, which is a pretty honest thing to say. You're a moron, you know? And of course, we knew the gun wasn't loaded, but at the same time, it's like, that's just bad etiquette, you know?
Yeah,
it's like being in a room full of black guys and just throwing the N-word around like your DMX yeah. or something, you know?
It's a bad call, Ripley. It was a bad call.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just watch this movie, though, and how he just flails around a gun throughout this movie is very, very funny to me. Yeah, the kills are much bigger in this, though, much gorier, and filmed in close-up a lot of time, which is, you know, kind of where the direction of the 80s horror will go as we go through the years here. You know, some pretty cool, iconic scenes, though. I think when Michael Myers kills the one nurse in the hallway and like stabs her with the scalpel and holds her up and her fucking clogs fall off. That's a pretty cool death.
I think the most iconic is the ironic trick-or-treater with the same exact costume as Michael Myers that just so happens to get hit by a car and burst into flames.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Well, I love the intro to this movie because it starts off with, you know, Michael Myers running around the town of Haddonfield, and you can hear Dr. Loomis kind of in the background. He's just like, he's free! He's out here somewhere! I just put 6 shots into him, and I have 6 more to put into him like this! And just... And he goes and steals another knife. He kills another local girl. And then, of course, Dr. Loomis goes to pull a gun on Michael Myers, who he thinks is in the street, who just conveniently decided to dress up as Michael Myers that same night and gets leveled by a fucking car and bursts into flames in like the first 5 minutes of this movie, which is pretty epic.
Made me giggle because I had a moment where all I could think of was Jaws. Whenever the kids go swimming and pretend they're sharks and they get caught, I'm like, why is that a thing? Be like, you know what we should do? You know the person they're hunting? Let's dress up like them.
Yeah, that seems like a really bright idea. We should 100% do that. Yeah,
I'd like to see a little Halloween short where that guy that dressed up like Michael Myers was actually a pedophile. So when Dr. Loomis calls him out, he's like, I found out it's a pedophile, and he just ironically gets killed by a car and burst into flames. So,
well, my favorite thing about that scene, I think either right before it, it would have been the lead up to it. There's earlier, if I'm not mistaken, in the film where he's so paranoid and he's searching for the guy. Yeah, he pulls out this gun and he doesn't need it. It's the wrong person. And then he just kind of looks like the cop and he kind of sheepishly goes, I've got a permit.
Now, so in this movie, the role of Michael Myers went to stuntman Dick Warlock, and that's only because Penis Wizard was unavailable for this film. Dick Warlock takes this off, and it was funny that you had to audition for this part. Now, this is a major sequel to the franchise. He said he just saw the mask outside of the audition room. He picked it up and put it on, and then he just walked in the audition room and stared, and then they were like, well, what's your name? And he was just like, my body was saying, you should say who your name is and who you are, and I just didn't. I just sat there and stared at him, and they said I got the part. So Dick Warlock with a power move of just not talking and being the best Michael Myers ever. So that was I thought it was an interesting little backstory.
Can I say probably would be the best porn star name of all time, Dick Warlock?
Yes, I think so. It's also it is the exact same mask in this movie as the original Halloween, same James T. Kirk mask that's been modified. But it looks, a lot of people comment that this movie he looks different, and that really is just more to do with the fact that in the original movie, the guy just put it in his back pocket all the time and just fucked it up the entire time. So it is the same thing, same mask. It's just all fucked up because the guy treated it like shit throughout the whole first film. So
I think it would have been great if he used a Spock mask instead, with big ears.
Yes. Now, it is worth noting that John Carpenter and Deborah Hill had no interest in even making a sequel for this to the 1978 Halloween. They just wanted that to be a standalone movie and for it to be the boogeyman is just out there. You can't kill him. You don't know what it is. And they had no intentions of ever bringing it back for a sequel, but obviously that was $54 million ago. Luckily, they set it up for a perfect sequel, and I think this is the only horror sequel that I can remember where it is a direct sequel in a sense that this is still that same Halloween night that they're experiencing. It is just a continuation right from the moment it ends, and it just keeps going almost real time throughout the rest of the night.
I can't see how they could make a sequel because his body was gone after he fell off the trellis.
Yes, yes. How
so it's kind of like a mystery, trying to find out what happened to his body.
Yes, I agree, Jeremy. So, yeah, it was always John Carpenter's intent, though, after making Halloween, and eventually he did. He wanted to make it John Carpenter's Halloween, more like an anthology, where every year there would just be a different Halloween movie, which they did. And you can go back in our archives to check out Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, the worst received of all the films, but honestly, not the worst Halloween movie by a long fucking shot. Halloween Season of the Witch is a goddamn great movie, and it deserves more respect than it gets.
I just think it was much better with Michael Myers as robots.
Yes, so. Robot Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you say that, but then they made the new Child's Play reboot, and fucking Chucky is a robot in the new one. Because Mark Hamill.
Horrible.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the new robot Chucky. He was fine.
No.
He's less.
Are you serious?
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate. The only part I didn't like how the new Chucky looked. I didn't like his look. But I thought Mark Hamill as a creepy AI was pretty fucking fun. It was a cool. It was a nice little adaptation, a different flavor to the whole series. Is it the original? No, it's not. I agree with that. But I thought it was a fun film, and in our today's modern age where technology could just go fucking haywire, I think it's important. That's how a kid's toy, it wouldn't be demons, it would be because you played too much Animal Farm and some crazy kook at the goddamn factory decided to set it to evil.
I like to think that it's better in ways because, like, how does transference of a soul even make like a doll move around anyway? I mean, it's like you only have like movement at the arms, maybe. And it's like, oh yeah, he's gonna move around real good, like at best like a fucking retarded Frankenstein as he like hobbles his way towards you. He doesn't even have hands to hold things. It's like, yeah, he needs to be a robot like the fucking Terminator with little servos and everything, go beep 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 beep, you know, because otherwise, you know, what is his arms are gonna be made like just of filled with cotton like a Bert and Ernie doll, and those are gonna kill you and everything.
I mean, it's like on. I don't even know you guys.
I didn't even see the movie, so I can't really decide on how they played it.
Eric, I can't believe I ever called you daddy.
No,
okay, the new one might totally suck. They might have fucked it up.
I hate it.
No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You get Mark Hamill as the voiceover, and he's basically nerd royalty, right? I mean, he's the best. He's one of the best goddamn Jokers. He's Luke Skywalker, and let's not forget one of his greatest roles in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So I think he's great as the little creepy AI, and I think they can both exist in the same universe, and you can enjoy them both for what they are.
Can I say what would have sold the original Chucky series is that the longer he is the doll, the longer there's like little tiny blood and sinews beneath his plastic flesh and everything. Much like the House of Wax, like, oh, he is becoming a real human doll.
Well, that's
because that makes it freakier.
That happens in later Child's Plays. In the original Child's Plays, they find out the reason why he wants a kid's body is because if he doesn't, he's going to be stuck in that doll forever. And part of the caveat is that that doll starts to become fleshy and real. That's why Chucky can get fucked up. One thing though that I've never liked in any of them, which is my initial reaction, is if a 2-foot doll came charging at me with a knife. Why has nobody ever just punt kicked victim just one time. Just I wanted to see Chucky just get blah, like this and just blasted across a room. His arms go in like a windmill motion and he just gets kicked and roll credits. Like that would be my favorite.
We have to proceed. You're making me challenge my reality of what I know about you, and I'm just very deeply depressed.
Okay, well,
it's just argument for the sake of contrary argument, whether it's right or wrong.
Oh, he does that anyways.
That is true. I'll tell you, I didn't think it was the greatest movie. I didn't hate it. I did not hate the new Child's Play. Anyway, well, let's get back
to what else I watched that night: Velocipastor.
I think I just watched the third or fourth to see the Tilly sister, which is hot as shit. So,
Speaking of really, really bad movies, and then we really will get back into Halloween 2 here. Tommy Simbazo messaged me and said that he watched the Glenn Danzig movie Victoria. It's a horror movie directed by Danzig, and it has, first of all, on Shudder, it has a 1 out of 5 stars on Shudder. And do you know how bad a horror movie has to be on the horror streaming service to get a 1 out of 5 stars? He was like, that's what turned me on to it. It was like, I've never seen a lower rated movie on Shudder than this. And he watched it and he said he got about 20 minutes in and there's a girl who has nipples for eyes and then there's a line that says, hey, stop, get your tits to stop looking at me. And he said the reason that it is 1 out of 5 stars is that it makes porn acting look like Citizen Kane was his it's that bad of an acted movie.
Wait,
if I had money to burn, I would literally remake Halloween and call it Sam Hain and star Glenn Danzig as himself as Michael Myers, just walking around with his normal face. So
yes, yes.
One last question, and I might have to ask Tommy because you may not know the answer. Are we talking like bad acting? Are we talking like in comparison with Ginger Clown?
Yeah, well, those are good actors in the movie Ginger Clown that are selling
with
a horrible
that
script. Right. I think this, I've heard it
as puppets.
Maybe we'll have to bring Tommy on to just do Victoria to just go over it one time just to see how fucking a poor of a film it really is.
Okay.
But I've heard it's pretty bad.
Hard to believe Glenn Danzig would be a bad director.
Now you mentioned Jeremy, you mentioned that you mentioned Sam Hain, right? Which is
yes.
Mentioned in this movie as the things that come out in this movie that I think are problematic for the entire Halloween franchise moving forward. You get a couple of big revelations. One, that you learn that Michael Myers is actually some weird pagan holiday worshiping Satanist, essentially. Sam Hain is, of course, a Celtic/Gaelic holiday, pagan holiday that's supposed to celebrate basically the fall equinox, essentially, where we go into
Gaelic.
Yeah. So they introduce that, which will be a common theme going through the rest of the franchise until they reboot into different storylines in the sequels. But they also introduce the other big aspect of this movie, that the reason that Michael Myers is back is he's here to kill his sister, Laurie Strode. That Laurie Strode is, in fact, the sister of Michael Myers, which I think is also a product of the time that we're in. You know, I mean, you think about it, Empire Strikes Back has now come out, and Luke, I Am Your Father, and having family ties within that. Not to mention, you know, the Friday the 13th, we'll hark back to that, where it's obviously it's Jason's mother, not Jason at all, and the fact that Jason pops up at the end, having some type of family tie that puts everything together seemed to just be the thing to do at the time. So
I would say that I think a lot of that has to do with during that time period, a lot of men had second families.
That is a good point. You know, it was the last time where men could have a second family, you know, where you could go to work and see your other family for a couple hours, like, oh, got to go to my night job and go back to your other family. Don't know how they actually made money having two families in a secret life, but it's pretty crazy.
That's how you know inflation is real, because you're just like, how did you make enough money to support two whole separate families and neither of your wives work, nor did your mistress?
That's strong. I want to get to be making mistress money, you know what I mean? I want to be able to buy a house for my mom and then my wife and then my side bitch, you know, and I'm just not there at all.
Hey, Eric, you're working towards it. You're already trying to get me a futon.
That is true. I'm buying pussy with futon money, baby. These are all problematic for the simple fact that every single movie now has a family tie moving forward. As you get into 4 and 5, which we'll talk about later, there's another Michael Myers relative that he's trying to kill. His whole goal is, I gotta kill my whole family, which will culminate in part 6 that actually tries to explain all of this. I think this also poses a second problem. It was John Carpenter's main reason for the first one being so scary was trying to explain Michael Myers. You don't need to explain him. It was more scary when you didn't know what he was about. And then you find out, he's just some kind of weird Satan worshiper. That's stupid.
I think Dean Devlin explains it the best, that there's movies where you don't want to have Jeff Goldblum come in and explain what's happening or the backstory, like, let me tell you why he's the way he is and everything. It's like a theory I have on all of the humanity. But the other thing is, I think Samhain is like the worst spelling of Samhain. Just like Dire Maker by Led Zeppelin.
Okay. So, all right, got it.
Which is actually De Jure Maker.
Du jour maker.
Because you're supposed to say, did you make it? Hey, I had your sex with your little weekend party, eh?
I think
I'm from Led Zeppelin. I'm British, yeah.
Now, this movie does showcase a little bit more special effects wizardry. I know we'd already mentioned the one lady who gets stabbed in there, but there are some really cool kills, like the actress Pamela Susan Shoup, who gets murdered, who's playing Nurse Karen. She gets murdered in the hot tub where she is topless, and apparently it was funny. I was watching one of her interviews on this Halloween documentary, and he said, yeah, I was told I was going to do a topless scene in a closed set, and when I showed up, there was 19 dudes in there. And then Rick said, to make me more comfortable, we would all get naked too, and nobody got naked except for me. And they immediately cut to Rick Rosenthal, who immediately says, he's like, first of all, I think you need to ask her again, because I 100% got into a thong and directed that scene in a thong, and you can ask anybody who knows me, it does not take much for me to get naked. So he fired back saying that he was in fact naked during this scene to make her feel more comfortable, although who knows what actually happened. All we got to see was her rocking tits in this scene and then her get drowned and her face melted off in super close up. So
well, I was gonna say, she probably doesn't remember because of all the Rohypnol.
Yeah, that is true.
And let's just say the scientificness is that if you're in a hot tub, it's at 100, it's a little warm. But if it's 120, your face is going to just melt right
yes,
the fuck off.
Yes, immediately. Immediately. This movie takes place mostly in a hospital. That's where Laurie has been taken to after the events of Halloween Part 1. And it's the... The thing I don't understand is, yes, the hospital is very creepy, and there's been plenty of other, you know, movies that are horror that take place in a hospital. Exorcist 3 comes to mind right off the bat. But what about, I don't understand. Was there something in like the 80s or 70s where you're like, hospitals just saved money by turning lights off all the time? Because I don't understand why it's so dark. Every hospital I've been in is incredibly well lit, or it's at least explained why it's dark, right? Like, oh, this is an abandoned spooky hospital. No, we just keep it very low lighting all the time in here, just for no reason at all.
Well, if you turn the lights off in the hospital, that's when the cults start lining up out front in their like, you know, KKK uniforms.
Oh yeah, The Void, man.
And shit, so.
Have you ever seen The Void, Ashley?
I love The Void.
The Void that's a very well done hospital scary movie, let me tell you. God,
I love that shit.
So, yeah, it takes place in the hospital. You do get some new characters. In Jeremy mentioned earlier, we have Lance Guest on the program tonight, who plays Jimmy, famous mostly from The Last Starfighter, which is just what a gem. The first real, that and Tron were the two video game movies of the 80s that really set things apart, right, Jer?
Yeah, everybody remembers that great song from the movie. You are the last starfighter, and you fight the bad guy.
So,
I didn't make a song for this episode, so I got to just make it up on the fly.
I do like how my other big problem with this movie is just I think the pacing of this one is so much more worse than the last one. Like the last one at least had a great score that kind of takes you and it's kind of cinematically beautiful. This one has some real lulls in it, just from time to time where I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? Is this, do we really need to know about nurse Karen's fucking love triangle that she's having right now? I don't get it. Just pop the top, lady. Let's see. Okay. Fucking drowned. Okay.
If I had one question to ask Jamie Lee Curtis about the making of this, and I forgot it from the first movie because it was so very obvious to me, is the first time she really takes off running, she has the typical woman fall down scene almost within a normal yard, which shouldn't be anything to fucking fall down on.
No.
But she does that fucking pose that I swear is an actual Andrew Wyeth of Christina's world.
Okay, explain Andrea Wyeth and Christina's world to our listeners.
Anybody that knows art knows Andrew Wyeth and Christina's world, where she's just this woman kind of posing out in a field next to a house in the distance that's kind of
funky.
So, and it's like, and she does this also in Halloween 2, where she's just kind of in the same pose as she's like crawling around, but of course she gets up to running again, you know? Makes no sense.
And there are, you want to know something, another little thing in this movie that bothers me? They do that thing that was done very well in Halloween 1, where Michael Myers is, I'm just walking and I'm going to get to you and you're not going to fucking get out in time. Mm-hmm. And there's one where Laurie's running away, right? And she gets through a window and then she falls on a whole bunch of shit. Michael Myers, they don't show how he gets through the window, but it must be with the grace of a pure gymnast, because he makes no sound at all and just easily comes in after her. And he's just walking with a scalpel towards the elevator. And just as she gets the door to close, he sticks the scalpel in and the elevator just closes the rest of the way. Well, what elevator fucking works like this when you already get the fucking thing in? It has the little bar that immediately opens the elevator door again. That doesn't happen.
No bar. It was probably a sensor. Could be a sensor elevator.
In one that was clearly built in the 70s, they didn't. They let you ride in fucking death trap cars back then that had no seatbelt. The same seatbelts that would murder your fucking torso in half.
Hospitals, some have really bad elevators that don't have the bar.
Okay.
If you want to go down to, by the way, if you go to Johns Hopkins, it's been around at least 100 years, and they have an elevator that is absolutely fucking frightening.
Okay.
Because you know it's 100 years old and it has the little gate that opens up to be given to it, and it's dark and the buttons are old, and it's the kind of elevator that makes you think you're going to die in it.
Okay.
There's like got to be a 90% chance of dying in that elevator, and they won't replace it. It'll probably cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to replace. No, they're going to keep that piece of old shit in that fucking place that makes billions of dollars every how many years.
Sounds badass. Let's go.
Johns Hopkins.
I smoked weed with a Johnny Hopkins once. It's a good guy.
So anybody, if you ever go to Johns Hopkins, the older building, check out that fucking elevator. That is frightening shit.
I will say the whole last act of this movie is pretty good overall. Like, I like Lori, the fact that she gets away from Michael and then hides in that fucking gnarly car and is just hanging out and just like, I think I'm safe now. I can't get the car started, but I'm in this car. And then immediately Jimmy shows up. He's like, we're going to get the fuck out of here. And he starts trying to start the car. He's like, oh, actually, sorry. I'm going to die real quick. I just came out to my car to do that. And then he leans on the horn, which is just like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to fucking hide right now. You're fucking it all up. And
Hey, did you just trip on some blood and get a concussion or something?
Yeah. Yes. And then obviously Lori, you know, comes out of that car, and then Dr. Loomis just, she has no voice, and Dr. Loomis just walks right past her. He's like, we need to find Lori. He's like, help! I'm literally right here. And then ends up putting another 6 shots into Michael Myers again at like point blank, and the cops just like, well, I know you kidnapped me here, let me go check on this evil mass murderer. And he's just like, don't, he's not dead, I've already shot him 6 times, why don't you understand this? And he's just like,
he's not human.
He just goes, listen, toots, I got this, old man, let me just go check this guy out. Yeah, he's not really breathing. Whoa! Immediately just fucking yokes that guy up and kills him in front of him. Pretty good one.
Okay, we didn't talk about the other most important part of the movie.
Okay.
Where Michael Myers comes up on naked chick in the hot tub and literally starts holding his hand and almost sucking on Michael Myers' fingers.
Ugh.
And I just started laughing to myself, like, this scene needed to go on for like 5 more minutes. This is the funniest shit in the world. Until finally he yanks his hand away, like, oh, must not be my boyfriend who was naked a second ago. Whatever. It's fucking hilariously stupid, and I'm glad they made it. So
I feel like if Michael Myers wanted to, he could get a lot of pussy. Because in the first one, if you remember, right, he comes in the ghost costume for PJ Soul's character. He gets to see titties. He could have got in there, at least gotten to like first base, second base solidly. I could have slipped a pinky in her until she realized, wait a second, something's up, but those aren't his regular glasses. And then
I would totally fuck Michael Myers.
Yeah, I mean, he seems powerful. He seems like he wouldn't just lay there. He would give back a little bit, and then you'd be murdered, you know. And have you ever had your pussy murdered? Not me.
And I have to say, that scene where she's talking on the phone would make my favorite AT&T commercial, when he wraps the phone cord around her, like, reach up
and touch somebody,
reach up and strangle them to death.
This ultimately culminates in Lori and Dr. Loomis going into the final scene, where I've never seen a hospital room with this much explosive oxygen in one room. Okay, so there's nitro, there's oxygen, and they turn on all of the shit in there. They actually end up shooting Michael Myers in both of his eyes, which somehow he recovers from in later films. I don't understand how he just got fucking 2 buckshots, like fucking gouged out his fucking gory eyes, and then he's just swinging around wildly trying to cut people. And then,
can we say, with a scalpel making a sound as if it's like a 6-foot stick, like,
yes.
So Lori's able to get out of the room, and then Dr. Loomis is left with Michael Myers in that room, and he finally just lights a lighter up and then blows them all to smithereens. And the movie, of course, ends with the Mr. Sandman song. Mr. Sandman, boom, 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 boom.
And you know how Halloween 3 boom, boom, begins, boom, don't you?
How does it begin?
We start at the beginning, at the end of Halloween 2. And after all of his skin has come up, he gets up. He is a Terminator. So. Run if you want to live.
there is some closure to Halloween 2. I mean, it ends with Michael Myers' mask just burning in there, and presumed dead is Dr. Loomis. But all in all, the day has been saved. Lori is alive, and we, you know, could have been a great ending to the Halloween franchise. Instead, they went on to go make Halloween 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 after this.
And this is why Halloween 4 should have started with Will Ferrell, and he is Michael Myers. I'm still alive, but I'm very badly burned.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So, no, and this is really the, you know, one of the many timelines of Halloween movies that you can look to.
You know what sequel I'd like to see to Halloween? I don't really know, like, Roman numerals or anything, but I'd just like to see them name it HCL instead of H2O, because that's like acid, I think. Hydrochloride. I don't know the language of Latin numbers.
Yeah, so there's just to go over the different Halloween timelines. It always starts with Halloween 1, except for, of course, the Rob Zombie remakes. But there's one that goes from Halloween 1 right to Halloween 3. And because if you look in there, they do make mention of the original Halloween classic, blah, 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 Halloween. And there's a brief little segment in Halloween 3. There's then Halloween 2, which you can go from Halloween 1 to Halloween 2. And then it branches off in two separate timelines, which is Halloween H2O and Halloween Resurrection. So there's that timeline. Then there's Halloween 2, Halloween 3, 4, Halloween 4, 5, and 6. That's a separate timeline. There's then the Halloween, and then the 40 years later, Halloween 2018. And then there's the start over one, which is to Halloween 2007 and 2009, which are the Rob Zombie entries into this franchise. Whew! Do we feel knowledgeable on all things Halloween and ready to do more next week? Who knew?
Yes.
Yes. Ashley, where can people find you at, darling?
You can find me at Ashley Pontius Laughs on all social media and keep an update on my shows. I'll have one at Brouhaha October 14th.
Excellent. I'm very excited for that. I can't wait. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. It's Eric with a K. Comedy with a C. You can catch links there to our new store, the Woodworth Brothers, or the Quality Time Brothers Emporium. Supported us by Teespring. Get yourself one of those Pogo the Clown gaiters. Protect yourself from COVID. Don't give it to anybody. It scares that shit away. Jeremy, take us out of here, pal.
Hey, I'm Lance Kist. Everybody watch The Last Starfighter. Yeah.
Come back, cock blockers, they're cock blockers, they're cock.